Today's Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And you know what time it is. It's time for the Garden Line with Mr. Mike Wiggins, who requested
Meg this morning. Meg is laughing at me for our song selection this morning.
Well,
but
it is
pretty funny. Very, very appropriate.
Oh, I know. It's very appropriate. I just haven't heard it in a while. All the memories are flooding back.
Good or bad?
Good. Oh, it was good. A very happy time. Exactly. I remember my high school graduation and college grad. I mean, very happy time.
We're happy time.
My parents were so proud. You know, people, it's just a happy time. And what kills me now is they're doing the middle school, grade school, kindergarten graduation.
You know,
I was going to say. They didn't do that when I was younger.
I was just going to say. But one, congratulations to all the grads.
Yes.
I don't know how many are listening to us this morning, but maybe if you're the parents or the grandparents, pass it on from the Garden Line. Congratulations.
That's pretty cool.
And it is so fun to see on the internet, for the most part, the kindergartners holding up their diplomas.
It's too stinking cute.
It is really,
but you know, it's a pretty cool class to be in, class of 2026 on the 250th anniversary.
Oh, there's no, it's very cool. No question about it. But just, you know, just a couple of things, kind of schmaltzy maybe, but you know, we're counting you graduates. We're counting on you.
Yes.
To make this world a better place, and we know you can do it. If I had to give one bit of advice, I'm not one to give advice, but follow your dream.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anybody tell you you can't do something.
Amen.
If it's worthwhile.
Amen.
So just follow your dream, and you'll be amazed where that
give it your takes best
you.
Shot, so you give never it. Have any regrets.
That's exactly right. So congratulations. I have to tell you this. Okay, this is more a little personal.
Okay.
I had two graduates just last week.
Oh, did you?
I did. I am the proud grandfather of a graduate of Catholic high school.
Aww.
Who is going to study mechanical engineering.
Wow.
At University of West Florida.
Wow.
So proud of him.
That's amazing.
A great
Must
young
be
man.
Very smart.
Exactly. Then I have one more. This is my Gator, my University of Florida Gator, who this is my oldest granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
who is graduated from law school.
Wow!
Just this week.
And so, wow! So what an accomplishment!
I can't tell you how proud we are of her. She's always made us proud academically and socially in any ways you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just a few personal notes, if you don't mind.
Well, no, it's wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Something to celebrate for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Anyway, congratulations to the grads. I know when we graduated from high school, we probably didn't listen to a gardening show the week after. We went to the beach for the week.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah, all of us. Oh, yeah. Stayed over at the beach. Had a great time.
Nice. Okay.
Still have memories of that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kind of changing topics here. Thanks go to Catherine.
Yes, thank you, Catherine. So sweet. I came in yesterday and I had a whole boatload of fabulous magazines. I haven't had a chance to look at all of them, but I was sharing them, Catherine, with, if you're listening this morning, thank you so much, dear. And I was sharing them with Mike this morning because she had put an emphasis on bird feeding and hummingbirds and butterflies.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I've only had about 5 minutes to look at this, but just two things. One, she left a hobby guide.
Yes.
From the Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop.
Which just sounds just like, I just want to go there.
It's right here. It's right kind of across the street from Home Depot.
Oh, is it? Really?
Oh, it's
okay.
Here.
I didn't realize that.
And what I like to buy from them, because mm-hmm. I really like to put this out, is their suet. They have a kind of a locally made suet. That's a little organic, kind of a cake. That you put into a cage and hang up, and the woodpeckers love it.
Oh.
They absolutely love it. And they say their suet is better than anybody else's because it has peanuts, peanut butter, mealworms, and tree nuts. How about that, huh?
Wow. So, okay. How do you keep the squirrels from gnawing on that?
Well, it's kind of hanging down.
It hangs down. Okay.
They try.
I was going to say, the peanut butter would attract them.
Exactly. They can't get it. And one other thing that Catherine left us was a Southern Living, and she highlighted the article about what plants will bring butterflies to your garden.
I want to take notes on that article.
Okay. And I just sat here very quickly and went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and checked off 8 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
We grow all the time. Number one,
okay.
And this is probably You remember this, Meg. One of my favorites is the dwarf lantana, which is a yellow plant. I'll tell you a real quick story. I had a grandson who is great at helping me landscape and do work that I just can't do anymore. Anyway, so he had the weed eater, and my lantana was coming back from the winter. He thought it was a weed. He chopped it to the ground.
Oh, no.
No, no, no. That's the bad news. The good news is it bounced back so fast. It's blooming quicker than it has ever bloomed. It's just absolutely beautiful. Huh. It's a dwarf yellow lantana. You want a plant that is, for lack of a better word, bulletproof. That's it.
Wow.
It will bloom in spite of you. It's so strong. Wintertime, it'll kind of get knocked back, but it'll come back, whether your grandson chops it up or whether it gets cold. Either way, it'll come back. I looked at these other plants. A blue salvia. We do a lot of red salvia. St. John's Fire is one of the great varieties there. And sun patience.
Love impatience. Is that the same as impatience?
Yeah, it's the same as impatience, but impatience generally are shade plants.
Okay.
We plant them in the shade.
Okay.
They bloom, and it's a staple. Pensacola staple.
I've done well with those.
Oh, absolutely. They're great. But the sun patience is a variety of impatience that likes a full, blaring sun.
Ah, that's the name.
God, you are so good at this stuff. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. That's okay. All right. One more here. Well, no, a couple more. The yellow shrimp plant.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Red shrimp plant. Well, the bloom looks like
shrimp.
A shrimp. Exactly. Exactly. That's may not be that easy to find, but I bet somebody like Larry and
pinks and whites, maybe.
There you go. There you go. Ageratum. We've talked about that. That's blue. This is the variety that Southern Living says will bring the butterflies. Is one called Monarch Magic.
Oh,
it's an appropriate name.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, I would never have thought of this one because I have said how much I like it. Dusty Miller. Remember the Dusty Miller? You remember what blooms they have on Dusty Miller?
Mm-mm.
None.
Okay. I passed the test.
You did good. No blooms. It's interesting. You plant it because it's what it just says. The foliage is gray and it looks dusty.
Huh.
But a lot of people love it because, one, it's very hardy, and two, it gives a good contrast. You'll see when people will plant containers and put, four or five different varieties of plants in it, they'll put Dusty Miller in there because it's a great contrast to the other plants that are blooming.
Right.
So, but if you do lantana and sun patience, shrimp plants, ageratum, and Dusty Miller, you ought to have all the butterflies you ever wanted. Right
there. That's so neat. I love that.
Catherine, this information is just great. And I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, we have got lots of texts rolling in this morning to the Garden Line. And this is Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Our friend Paul from Blue Sky Landscaping says, if you want hummingbirds, plant fire spike. Beautiful shrub for hummingbirds.
There you go.
That's kind of interesting.
That is good. Exactly. And fire spike, of course, is red. And I think that's hummingbirds like that.
Okay, and then we got another one that just came in from Deborah, and she says the University of Florida recently put out a notice that the tropical milkweed, otherwise known as Mexican milkweed, is actually dangerous to butterflies. It does not give the proper nutrients, and the butterflies are often deformed. Interesting.
I've never heard that. That's
interesting. Wow, okay. We have the smartest listeners ever.
Oh, we do.
No listeners. Question.
I would have recommended that.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Good. Oh, that is great.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break because we're already at break time, but we are the Garden Line on Pep Talk. If you've got a question or comment, please text it in this morning, 850-437-1620. We'll be back with Mike Wiggins. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and he is our gardening expert here every Tuesday from 9 to 10. If you've got a question or comment, send it in, 850-437-1620. Mike, we are just getting a ton of photos of gardens that are blooming gorgeously, and everyone is giving you credit for that and from your tips and advice, wonderful.
No, our listeners are so good at this.
Oh, my
goodness. They're the best gardeners ever, and so, no. Certainly in me, but I just appreciate them sharing what they have done. It's just some of the pictures are absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And we did have Steve from Escambia Bay send us a bunch of pictures. You were curious about that photo,
well,
right?
I am curious. Steve, who is a regular listener, we really appreciate him. His garden, the picture he sent us, it's a relatively narrow garden, but it just goes on and on and on. It's just absolutely gorgeous. But, Steve, I need to ask you, what the boxes there, it looks almost like you're trying to get honey from
the
bees.
One looks like bird feeder, maybe, yeah, maybe, but it's hard to tell.
But it's hard. It's got little different sections to it. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, we'd love to know.
I couldn't identify that.
Okay. And we also got somebody that said that they shout out and big thanks to Mike for his guidance. I took his advice on rose types, and this is what we got. Planted for the wife before Valentine's Day, and we already have plenty of blooms, and then sent a photo. They're big, bright red roses.
Isn't that,
gorgeous.
Isn't that pretty? Just great.
Really pretty.
Exactly.
Let's see if I can get to all of them here.
Yeah, and they, if you'll notice that picture, they're growing that rose, unless the picture has got me fooled. Growing in it in a container.
Yes, I mean really growing.
Exactly, which is nothing wrong with that, because you can, if you be sure the container is large enough, and that way you can control your soil. You can put in quality soil, and control your watering. So I think that particular text is really indicative of what one can do with one rose. And enjoy it so much.
Yeah. Okay. I love these advice tips are amazing. So this is from, I hope I pronounce this right, Adana and Don. And they say, you can keep squirrels away by adding chili powder to your suet. Birds don't have taste buds. I did not know that. So the spicy addition doesn't bother them.
You know, that is so so interesting they would say that. I have never tried that. But our friends at Wild Birds Unlimited, which we know is in Pensacola, sells the suet that I go buy from them all the time.
Right.
But it's on a rack, and on the left side of the rack is the suet that I buy. On the right side is, it looks like the same suet, but it's called hot suet. So I bet you that's exactly what's going on here. They probably put some pepper in there or whatever.
Golly,
to keep the squirrels away.
I learned so much on
this
show.
Well, I'm gonna try that. I've never tried it before.
Do an experiment for us. See if it works.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That's very cool. We'll have an official experiment from this show, from the garden line.
But that's a great comment. And if it works for them, I'm going to try it too. But Wild Birds Unlimited suet is so good that if they're going to add some hot pepper to it, may make it even better to keep the squirrels away.
Wow. Okay. Paul sent in some beautiful pictures of a dusty, I think it says millie blooms, a yellow bloom in the summer that looks like a small fuzzball, but they're beautiful. Sent some beautiful pictures in. Now we've got a question that just came in, Mike, a totally different topic, asking you, do you ever use liquid? This is from Mike. He says, ask Mike if he has ever used liquid fertilizer. And he shows a picture of a big, like, plastic jug with liquid fertilizer in it.
Interesting you say that. We talked about that pretty rose just a minute ago.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the experts are saying that you should use granular fertilizer as your first fertilization in the early spring for roses.
Mm-hmm.
Following that, many are saying use a liquid fertilizer for the rest of the season. Now, I've never really heard that. That was just one article that I read, but it sounded like they knew what they were talking about. So, a Miracle-Gro, of course, is one that's been used for years.
Oh, yeah.
You mix it up with water, and that makes a nice liquid fertilizer, no doubt about it. Oh, yes, that's fine. The thing about liquid fertilizer, in my opinion, say you want to use it in part of your lawn.
Right.
It just doesn't have the staying power that a granular fertilizer has, especially the fertilizers we use nowadays, like for lawns, which are slow release, granular, slow release, which will last you a long time. A liquid fertilizer is kind of a quick hit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use it like for roses, which you should fertilize every month, once a month, using that liquid fertilizer should be something you might want to try.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Keep those texts coming in, 850-437-1620. Steve responded to your question.
What did he say?
And he says, I have two beehives at the end of my raised garden beds. Yeah. I also have a bed dedicated to the bees.
Yeah. It looked like beehives, someone who producing honey.
Yes, for sure.
And a very, very cool. Very, very cool. And Steve also, correct me, Meg, if I'm wrong, so one of the pictures he sent was one of his beds that was had all the blooming plants in it, which I really couldn't tell what they were from the picture. But it goes as one landscaping concept that I think many of us should follow more is don't jam your plants together.
Oh.
Separate them with in a mulched bed so you can appreciate the color and the growth of some of these blooming plants as opposed to planting them so close together that you really can't enjoy them, the individual plants that you've planted. You can't always do that. And some of the bloomers, not bad if you put those close together, but on some of your other landscape plants, separate them a little bit, mulch the bed, and it gives it a good look.
So about how far apart would you say?
That's a very good question. It really depends probably on the plant, how fast it's going to grow, how big it's going to grow. But I would say at least probably a foot and a half or
so. Oh, that much space. Okay.
Paul is our man. He's our guy that knows all this. He does this all over town and plants these beautiful beds. But Paul, what do you think about that? I would say a foot and a half, maybe more if it's going to be a plant that's going to put on a lot of growth.
Okay, we are just having lots of texts coming in this morning at 850-437-1620. It's easy for you to say. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We'll be back with more tips and advice on gardening from our expert, Mike Wiggins. Good morning. This is The Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. My name is Meg, and I'm just the host of Pep Talk. I don't know anything about gardening, but I learn something every day.
Well, I wish you'd quit talking like that, because that is not true. You are very good at this.
Well, I'll tell you what. I get so excited because I get excited every week about this show, and it was so funny because when y'all send the text in, and I'll say, take a look at this, and I get really excited. So this morning, someone said, good morning. I've had a few of these show up. Any ideas? And I went, what is it? And I open it, it's giant stinking slug. And I showed
that
Mike,
one,
I said, that is a big slug, okay? It's
big,
almost snake size based on the picture.
It's a big slug.
Gosh, y'all.
We talked about that last week.
We did, but this one
slugs are,
I don't know,
are nasty. There's no doubt about it. But slugs need to be controlled, remember, with a bait, not a contact killer. With a bait.
Mm-hmm.
The old brand name that we talked about last week is Ortho had one called Bug Getta. It looked like little pellets.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do, if you have a slug, say, coming out of a flower bed or on your sidewalk, water first.
Right.
And then spread that bait around because when you water first, you're driving those slugs up. And so put the bait down. Then don't water afterwards.
Okay.
Because a bait means that you're varmint has got to eat it. We use baits for mole crickets, believe it or not, you know, which of course are a problem with lawn grasses generally in the, here we go, 1st of June, air to time.
Oh, there it
so,
is.
So here we are.
Yeah.
But there's some mole cricket baits out there, which means you're not trying to kill him with a contact killer. He's got to eat the bait.
Got it.
And if he does that, it's all over. Yeah.
Do they have any useful purpose, the slugs? Or is that why they're called slugs?
That's why they're called slugs.
I don't know. I kind of feel for them. I mean, I can identify with that some
you
days.
Know, over the years, I've never really felt sorry for the slugs.
Because I'm thinking the poor guy's just slugging along, not minding his own business.
Yeah, exactly. But until he starts eating your annuals.
Correct. I know. Okay,
exactly.
Well, and somebody texted in last week, just you can do salt.
Exactly.
That's a simple solution.
Exactly.
So there you go.
You know, a lot of these home remedies work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been used for years and years and years. So absolutely.
Okay. We have a bunch of questions that have come in this morning, so I'm going to have to ask our listeners to be a little bit patient. We're going to try to get to all of them in this next half hour. But we've just about run out of time for this half hour. So we're going to take a break here for the news so we can keep you updated. And we'll be back with The Garden Lawn coming up here in just a few minutes.
Sounds good.
After the news. Are you going to be ready? You ready for all these questions, sir?
I'm ready. All our graduates out there are listening to us this morning.
Oh, it's springtime.
Sitting over at the beach with a radio next to their chair.
There you go.
And listening to The Garden Line.
It's
wonderful.
Happy graduation to all of our 2026ers.
Class of 26.
All right. We'll be back with Pep Talk and The Garden Line in just a few minutes. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Mike Wiggins is our host for the Garden Line for this next half hour. So if you've got a gardening question, problem, or comment, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. Last half hour, we covered quite a few topics, and one of them has come up again, was slugs. So this cracked me up. This is from a listener. I don't have your name, but I love this. Vaguely related to this topic, my granddaughter goes to UC Santa Cruz, whose mascot is the banana slug.
No, really?
Yes, because they say it has no natural enemy. So, I'm sorry. I just sort of got an image of a football field with the slug mascot
crawling
around
on his stomach. Yeah. Really?
A banana slug. I guess they're big.
Oh, I would
like
think
a banana.
I think we need to. Hey. It's time to get our research department working on the banana slug.
Someone needs to send us a photo of a
banana slug. What school was it? UC?
UC Santa Cruz.
UC Santa. We need to look
University
that up,
University of California,
too.
Santa Cruz.
Yeah, we'll look that up, too. That really is fast. I just wonder how they do that.
I know. Well, no, it's very clever, sort of.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks for sitting that in. That's awesome.
That is so much fun. Thank you.
Okay. Please ask Mr. Wiggins what I can do to get my pomegranates tree to bear fruit. The blossoms keep falling off.
Yeah, and that's a blossom drop is a problem on a lot of plants. You have to look at certain causes. One could be easily be over fertilization. Now that may not be the case here, but if you fertilize a little too much on a plant that's going to bloom and produce, sometimes you can get that blossom drop.
When do pomegranate trees typically bloom? Do you know?
Yeah,
it should
be coming on
now?
Right now. Yeah,
okay.
And so that may be one of the situations. It also could be it's in the wrong location.
Mm.
If it's a new plant, that could also be that if it's one you just planted, it might be going through a little bit of a plant shock, and maybe dropping some of those blossoms. So those are a couple of things I would look at. I know you're going to be concerned because you want to have the pomegranates, but if the rest of the tree looks healthy, if the new growth is healthy, its time will come and it'll produce. So I wouldn't be too upset about that. But, it could even be the cold we had could have affected it some way. I'm kind of reaching here,
but
I don't really have a definite answer.
Okay.
But I would look at one thing you can control. Is water. If it's not enough water, that could be a problem. If it's too much fertilizer, that could be a problem. Those are things you can control. The environment, when it comes to blossom drop, you really can't do much about that.
Okay, we just got a text in from our UC Santa Cruz.
The same person?
Yes. She says they thrive on the forest, the banana slugs thrive on the forest floor of redwoods. And she sent in a picture of their mascot, which is as cute as it could be. It's exactly what a cute banana slug would look like.
Does it have the two antennas that our slugs,
Yeah, and it's yellow.
Really?
Yeah, it's great. I love this. So thanks for sending that. It's too cute.
That is so cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we got a more serious question now. Let me
that,
see.
Wait a minute. That was serious.
Well, that was serious. I'm sorry. I take that back.
That was very serious.
I take that back.
That was fun.
All right, now let me see if I can find my other one. Please. Oh, goodness, no, I've lost my spot. Oh, here we go. Okay, we've got a few minutes left here. Now, this one's tricky because I have to use a word which some people don't really like, and I was trying to think of what word I could use instead of that word, but I'm just going to go with what the listener wrote, okay?
Go for it.
Okay. Hey, guys, garden is going good. We have an issue with either a cat or some animal peeing in our garden. So that was the word I was worried about, and then I thought, well, I could replace it with urinating, but that sounds even worse. So, it's not a really good word, but we get what you're saying. So, and my first strawberry got eaten by a bird. I already have a solution for that. I researched some products for cats and animals, but I want to know, what is the best solution? Thanks. Below is the corner where it looks like they pee. Still putting up a chicken wire fence this weekend. Yeah, that does happen around here, and it could really ruin your plants, couldn't it?
Oh, of course. What I might do, I think if it's still
it's a beautiful garden, by the way.
Oh, if it's still great. If it's still on the market, there are granular materials called dog and cat repellent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that you can put out to obviously repel the dogs and the cats and that type of thing. Also, you might consider, and this is a little bit of a reach, some mothballs. Very simple. Take some mothballs. Kind of spread them around in the area where you're having this problem and see if that doesn't help. Lastly, you might want to try a small bag of sulfur and just kind of sprinkle it around the plant. Those are some, I don't want to say home remedies, but some old remedies that people have used, because quite frankly, this is one of those problems that you get a lot of people have different ways to do it because it's a problem that's not easily solved.
Right.
But the dog and cat repellent usually came in like a little one-pound shaker can, and you just kind of salt and pepper it around. But the mothballs would also be probably one of my first choices, because you've probably got some around the house.
Right.
And just try that and see if that helps. Well, of course, on the strawberries, you know, some bird netting will help too.
Oh.
Where you can put up that, it looks like a mullet net, and you can put that bird netting out over those strawberries, which hopefully would keep the birds away.
Well, it seems like that I've had dogs my whole life, and it seems like with that issue, I don't know much about it as far as gardens go, but they like to go back to the same spot because of the smell.
Yeah.
So if you can find something that'll get rid of that smell, they won't be attracted to. They always like to go to those same spots.
Right, and that's one reason I mentioned the sulfur and the mothballs.
Get rid of that smell.
It does have an odor to it.
Right.
That maybe will send that sort of dog or cat somewhere else.
Kind of neutralize it.
Now you're talking.
Using big words this morning. Look out.
Now, Meg, before you go, the next time we take a break, whatever you do, don't delete the picture of the banana slug from
so cute
from California.
So cute.
I just would like to see that.
It's really cute.
That is so fun.
And I have never heard of this before. And every week we learn something new right here on the Garden Line.
We do.
It's really amazing.
Exactly.
So 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. The whole purpose of this show is to have experts like Mike Wiggins come in and talk about what he knows the most about, which is gardening. So if you've got a question for him, as you can see, almost really no topic seems to be off topic.
No, never.
So anything you'll be struggling with, you might have a question or something that's going well, and we love getting your pictures too. 850-437-1620. Let's see. Oh, BB, Paul, he says, no, I don't like this solution at all. I'm not even sure I want to say. He says, BB gums come in handy for dogs and cats. Laugh with the big laugh. No.
No.
We're not going to advocate BB guns on this show.
I always thought that if you, for example, went after a squirrel or something with a BB gun and you missed and you hit the window of your neighbor.
Oh, not good. That
you might be in trouble.
Yeah, not good. Or your neighbor's car or some kind of.
Exactly. I think.
No.
I'll steer clear of that.
I think I like the sulfur or some kind of.
There you go. But Paul, thanks for the input, buddy.
Okay, Paul, you're done.
We're scared of that one.
Okay, this is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Got plenty of time left for your questions and comments at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back after the break on Pep Talk. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. He is our gardening expert. And again, we wanted to thank Catherine for the magazines. She says, glad you like the magazines. I always try to recycle them. So she gave us Southern Living, several summer almanacs, which were very cool. The Florida almanacs, those are neat. I've never seen those before.
Exactly.
Old Farmer's Almanac. I'm sorry. The Old Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah,
summer editions. So very cool.
A guide to products from the Wild Birds Unlimited, which is a very interesting store here in Pensacola. So you might want to stop by there and buy some of the suet.
Because we were initially talking about hummingbirds and butterflies.
Right.
We started this whole conversation.
And she pointed out that Wild Birds Unlimited has hot suet. And regular suet.
I love that.
We learn a lot on the Garden Line.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about that. Okay, a couple things, Meg. Of course, this is the time we're all planting color, and I want to go back in time when we recommended that you get on your computer and look up the North Florida Annual Planting Guide, which is published by IFAS. Which is Institute of Food and Agricultural Services from the Extension Service at the University of Florida. But this is a great tool if you are looking to decide what color to plant or what plant to plant for color. The list is enormous. It's 52 plants.
Wow.
And at the bottom, you've got a little legend. Here's the key. It shows the different colors. What grows best in the shade, was best in the sun, what is hardy and cold, and that type of thing. So I would recommend that if you can get that on your computer. It's fun to look at, some of which I don't really recognize that we have planted a lot in Pensacola, but they all, this is just for North Florida, and that's the North Florida Annual Planting Guide. This is your guide for color in Pensacola. Also, there's the Florida Panhandle Planting Guide, which is vegetables, which is edibles, if you will. Once again, put out by the University of Florida, IFAS Extension, and it's got 40 different vegetables that one can grow in Pensacola. So it's really, really a great guide. And if nothing else, it may give you an idea of what you want to plant. Of course, we're right in the middle of it right now, and so it's very timely that if that's something you could use, that you just pull that off your computer. But the best one is the North Florida Annual Planting Guide. Everything from ageratum, starting in A, to zinnia, starting in Z.
And I like zinnias.
And everything in between.
Zinnias are pretty.
Oh, gorgeous, just gorgeous. So anyway, so that's your North Florida Planting Guide on annuals. But one thing that we haven't talked about too much is the perennials. This is the annuals. The perennials are plants that come back every year, and there's some great ones in Pensacola. Just a few here if we have time. One is daylilies. Daylilies are fabulous. They will grow in the full sun. They will come back year after year. They will give you color. One of my all-time favorites is one called Stella del Oro.
Ooh.
It's a dwarf yellow daylily. Now, this is a little bit like camellias. There is a daylily society here in Pensacola.
Oh, no kidding.
That can tell you everything you ever wanted to know about it. And if anybody listening has information about when that group meets, or be sure they're still in operation, I feel sure they are, let us know.
Okay.
Because I think people might want to know about daylilies. Some people, it's a real hobby with a lot of people.
Sure.
Is growing daylilies and propagating different daylilies. So that's something we may want to thought to think about. The second one that I really like are Gerber daisies. Gerber daisies are very colorful. Some have the long stalk. That's what I call, this is just me, the old-fashioned Gerber.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like to plant a dwarf Gerber, which is a lower-growing Gerber daisy.
Hmm.
One thing you may want to consider if you're going to grow Gerber daisies, one, they like the sun. They do. But what you want to do, if you plant it, it has, the plant itself has kind of a crown, which is right at soil level. If you kind of cover up that crown, you're going to have much less color. You need to kind of sometimes get your finger and kind of clean all that off. So that's the Gerber. The daylily and the Gerber are two really, really great annuals. And just to add to that, just a few, we talked about these last week. Amaryllis.
Yes.
Which have just bloomed this spring.
So pretty.
All over town. They are a true perennial. And, of course, one is blooming right now with the long stalks with the blue is the Agapanthus, lily of the Nile.
So
they're
pretty.
Great. They're great.
So pretty. Okay, I had a couple texts come in while you were sharing all of that. We had been talking about fruit and growing fruit trees and things like that, and someone said, forget about growing tasty fruit in your yard because it's only an ornament. The squirrels, birds, and varmints eat everything, but they don't like any citrus.
There
you can go with grapefruit trees, orange trees, lemon trees.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's one thought. Then someone had a question. Any thoughts on watering? And I'm not sure I understand this question. Sometimes people use talks to text, and it comes out a little different. So any thoughts on watering in beneficial nematodes to the garden? Watering in beneficial nematodes to the garden.
Not really. Nematodes are an interesting subject.
Okay. I don't know what they are.
They're kind of microscopic, almost. They attack the roots of plants.
Are they bugs?
I guess you could call them bugs. Yes, they would be classified as bugs. tomato plants are affected by nematodes very adversely. And so, for a matter of fact, if you buy a tomato plant and you look on the tag, it'll have VFN.
Mm-hmm.
VFN when you buy your tomato plant. The V and the F are diseases.
Oh.
The N is nematodes. So the tomato plant that you're buying is nematode, I'm going to call it resistant.
Oh, wow.
And so that's a fact. Beneficial nematodes, I'm not really can't speak on that. I don't know. I've kind of spent my career, you know, trying to avoid nematodes.
Mm-hmm.
They can get in your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
They sure can. Not much you can do about that. But they are just indigenous to sandy soils all over the world. And it's a whole field of study.
Wow.
Is the nematode study. But, yes, I would think you'd want to plant plants that are nematode resistant. The beneficial nematodes, I would love to have our Texas tell us more about that.
Well, I'm wondering if they're saying thoughts on watering, if that's beneficial to the nematodes.
Well, I would definitely say so.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're trying to do, if an insect, if a nematode is attacking the roots, say, of a tomato plant,
mm-hmm.
yes, watering is going to help those roots recover or get through the attack of the nematodes. Sometimes, not much you can do about it.
Right.
They can damage a tomato plant, for example, a little bit like the wilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the wilt is a disease that they get that's just, the tomato plant just dies.
Yeah.
And nothing you can do about it.
Hmm. Great questions and comments coming in this morning.
850-437-1620.
Just a couple of minutes left. We'll be back with Mike on the Garden Line on Pep Talk. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here, as he always is, every Tuesday from 9 to 10. And you can also hear him on Saturday mornings when they repeat this broadcast. So the person that had sent in about the nematodes, there are beneficial nematodes. So I apologize, we didn't really understand the question. And it says the beneficial nematodes actually kill aphids and roly-polies.
No kidding.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Roly-polies, we all know what those are. Generally, when people want to control those, they do it, believe it or not, just like slugs.
Mm-hmm.
Use a bait.
Okay.
It's called a pill bug.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the roly-poly is.
Oh, I've seen those.
So you use a bait to control those, just like you did in our discussion of the slugs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting. Maybe this week we'll do a little research on.
We got our research department on this.
Yeah, you get them on the beneficial nematode subject.
I didn't know there were beneficial nematodes. That's very interesting.
Exactly. That is interesting. I really appreciate that text.
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners are amazing.
We have. It's true. We get so many interesting comments and so many tidbits and information, home remedies, all kinds of great stuff.
All kind of stuff. Before we leave, we do need to talk about the weather.
Yes.
We always kind of start off with that, but we'll end up with it today. We're going into another dry period, it looks like. And so we just... Because we did have that good rain, we don't want to just take that to the bank and say, okay, it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd get back to our schedule at least 3 times a week, at least half an hour for your lawn. Because it is going to be dry. It's going to be hot, too. So we need to get back to our water schedule until we get back into a cycle of rain.
And really quickly, what do you recommend again?
3 times a week, 30 minutes.
In the morning.
In the morning. You got it, Meg.
I'm learning.
You got it.
This is The Garden Line with Mr. Mike Wiggins, who is our expert extraordinaire. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
You're the best.
You're the best, Meg.
No, you're the best.
No, you're the best.